in John 3, verse 22. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he was spending time with them and baptizing. And John was also baptizing in On near Salim, because there was much water there, and they were coming and were being baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. There arose, therefore, a discussion on John's part, as part of John's disciples, with a Jew about purification. See, the thing about baptism and purification, which is, this is not what that baptism is about, but that was the occasion for it. Because there are many different washings of baptism that Jews would go through ceremonially, to be ceremonially clean. They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he was with you beyond Jordan, to whom you have borne witness. Behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. So, John, I mean, we're your disciples, and it looks like you're losing your influence. You're decreasing. Your influence seems to be fading. And, of course, he says, great, you know, that's what I'm here for. I'm just the forerunner. I'm not the bridegroom. So, he says, you yourselves bear witness that I... and see how he answered verse 27. John answered and he said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. Can receive nothing. So what do we need every day? What do we need to walk in the manner pleasing God? It can only be received. And how could he say that? Yeah, how could he say in verse 27, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven? You yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, referring to Christ. So where did he learn this? How did he know this? In John 19, in Jesus' second appearance before Pilate, of course, stopped to release him. And they were charging Jesus, why the Romans should go ahead and do their job at the execution, because it wasn't under a Jewish authority to do so. So they were trying him, but only the Romans could actually carry out a death sentence. And so here's the Jews' justification in John 19:7. And Jesus answered him, we have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he made himself out to be the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard this statement, he was more afraid. Of course, he had already interrogated Jesus in John 18, 33 and following. So this is comes in again. This is the last time. So when he heard this statement, he was more afraid, and he entered into the praetorium again. That is the official residence there for who he is as the governor. And he said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, you do not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and I have authority to crucify you? Jesus answered, you would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me up to you has the greater sin. You would have no authority unless it had been given. Unless it had been given. And we see the Corinthians, who were living in an overrealized eschatology. That is, they were like the preterists, who believed that, well, the resurrection of Christ has already come. We're already ruling and reigning with him. The devil has already been bound. That's the preterist. That's the all-millennial belief. And so they had some of that eschatology in their faulty eschatology in their belief system, which was, of course, Paul had to correct. And so he says in 1 Corinthians 4:7, who regards you as superior, and what do you have that you did not receive? What do you have that you did not receive? If you did receive it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? You're already filled. You've already become rich. You've already become kings without us. I would indeed that you had become kings so that we might reign with you. See, that you did not receive? Colossians 2, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, aorist tense, so continue to walk in Him, receiving Him. So my answer, I would say to you, are you receiving Him?
I think that this is the crisis. It's just the crisis point where of realizing I'm still trying to do it in myself. I'm still trying to produce faith. I'm still trying to receive the Lord in and of myself. I just need to. I mean that, and that's not a bad thing to be at this point. I just need to say thank you and take it.
Yeah, good. And that's what Major Thomas would say. What do you do? What's the Christian life? You just keep receiving Jesus and saying thank you.
Because up to that point, and anything that I produce in myself is a legalistic attempt mm-hmm. to live the Christian life, which is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It's
right.
not possible.
Right.
And so I'm just having death throes. Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's where Major Thomas's whole message is for those that, the sooner we can get to those death rows and then make sure you get to the place you're, not only dead, but stinking. It's real important you get to the stinking phase.
There you
because
go.
Then faith can lay hold.
You realize it's impossible and it's like, quit trying. I mean, it's like, quit trying in and myself. I can't do it, but God can. And He's made it.
Well, He's already done it.
Yeah.
It's not even correct to say He can, but He's already done it. Now, are we standing into the fact that He's done it?
Just take it.
Yeah, we're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because it's God who is supernaturally work in you, both to will and do according to His good pleasure, because it's already done. So there's the conflict between faith and the realization that that faith to which we are called to in terms of perfection is already accomplished. So, yeah, we're all struggling. I mean, we have different struggles in different ways. But, for me, the more I...
The dissociation in there kind of complicated.
No, the dissociation is not the issue. Right now, the issue is you're abiding in Christ. He will, if there's that which is not and it's dissociated, it's going to come up and it's going to be stinking. Mm-hmm. It's coming out of a tomb because that old man was crucified 2,000 years ago. And anything that's dissociated is in the realm of the old man. It's the outer man. So it'll come forward. You follow the Lord, it's going to come forward. It's going to be like a vacuum. It's going to pull it forward. And it's going to come out dead and stinking.
See, I think there's been a reversal of that. I think I've got to get it together and then go. At least there wasn't.
You pursue the Lord and the light that He's given you. You walk in the light He's given you, and then if there's that which is not in the light, it's going to be pulled right out. And why? The Lord will do it. And, John, this isn't, to some advanced status in the Christian life. This is for now. In John 8, verse 12, and it says in John 8, 12, again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who continues to follow me, present tense, shall not walk in the darkness, but he shall have the light of the life. That he'll have the life that originates and is produced by the life. So I'm here to lay hold of life. That's what Paul told Timothy. To lay hold of life. Lay hold of eternal life. That's what he says. So I'm here. I'm going to pursue life. I'm going to order the time in which I have so that I am pursuing that which represents. What did Jesus do every day? It wasn't working. I mean, or what did Paul do? I mean, there's life and there's things we do, but what more does God want to expand our time in to come moving into who He is? And those are the disciplines. Those are the self-denial areas. So, I mean, it's for me, every day, it's like I'm a kindergarten. I'm in the kindergarten when it comes to that. The Lord, He meets us right where we are. So that's good. Mm-hmm.